Let's turn in God's Word to 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And we will be reading this evening 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1 through the end of chapter 27, which is verse 9. Second Chronicles 26, we will begin reading in verse 1. And before we read God's Word, to hear His Word read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we give You all praise for the majesty and the glory and the goodness and justice that Your Word declares about Yourself and about our King and Your Son. We ask that You would show Him to us here and that You would grant to us wisdom based upon true knowledge and understanding of Your Word. Make it clear to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 26, verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jebna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Meunites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttresses of the wall, then he fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert, and he dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham his son was over the king's house judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah from first to last, the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belongs to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham his son reigned in his place. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord, but still the people acted corruptly. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. He built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built fortresses and towers. He also fought with the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid this to him in the second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. So Jotham rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Those are God's words. Now we are, as for time period, we are now in chapter 26, in the time of the early 8th century, at least when we start, like 780s BC, and Uzziah's reign is 52 years, which would put that end, or when he dies at the end of chapter 26, in like the 730s BC. During most of Uzziah's time as king, Jeroboam II was reigning in the northern kingdom of Israel, but we know the book of Chronicles is not about the kingdom of Israel, it's about the kingdom of Judah and the covenant faithful people, and where the covenant promises continue to the king who's Jesus Christ. And between Jeroboam II and Uzziah, King Uzziah, there was peace. Israel in this time took back land that they had lost to Syria, and this had effects with Judah because Israel was prospering. So Judah prospered with various trade, being able to trade goods with one another. Verse 1, you remember the last chapter, chapter 25, verses 21 through 24, that king, the king of Israel before Jeroboam II, Joash, also known as, in other parts of Scripture, Jehoash, which is confusing because that's also his father's name. Joash had taken Uzziah's father, Amaziah, captive. And Amaziah, the king of Judah, was taken captive for 9 years. And you look at our passage, verse 1, we see what happened in that 9 years. Amaziah's son Uzziah was made king. And so he reigned, just like we looked at other kings before, he reigned as somewhat like of a co-ruler, co-regent, while his father was taken captive, and even after the captivity of Amaziah, they reigned together and they ruled together. In verse 3 it says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. But while we get a glimpse of Uzziah's life this evening, we mostly know his name because of what? We know his name because of his death, right? That's where most of us would remember his name, and the prophet coming and seeing the vision of Isaiah 6, right? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and a train of his robe filled the temple. That's where we remember Uzziah from. But here it says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Yet if we go back, we think, last Lord's Day, it seems wise to consider this according to all his father did early on in his reign before he went into idolatry. Just as we took it last Lord's Day. But as we keep looking at Uzziah's life, like so many before him, things seem to start off well, but then eventually there's a downfall. And things go downhill. And so we start off this evening with the first point, blessings from God. There's good that this king did, blessings from God. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. What did he do? If you need clarification, just as an aside, in Chronicles, his name is Uzziah, but if you go to 2 Kings, I believe it is 2 Kings 15, it gives him another name, Azariah, which is probably more commonly used at the time. Uzziah means my strength is in the Lord, 2 Kings. His other name, Azariah, which is used, means the Lord has helped. Uzziah is used here most likely so as not to confuse us by the name of the priest who has the same name, verse 17 and verse 20, Azariah. And look at verse 5. It says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Zechariah, not, if we remember the last couple chapters, Zechariah, not Jehoiada, the high priest's son, that was murdered, but another prophet of that time. You see there that Uzziah sought God in Zechariah's day, and as long as he sought the Lord God, God made him prosper. God blessed him. And this should remind you of your duty as we think, kind of step back for a moment. Those of you who are older, Zechariah was obviously older. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He was young. And here's Uzziah, a young man. He's been guided by an older man, Zechariah, a prophet. And we remember Titus 2, right? Older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Those ladies among us who are older in comparison, especially to people around you, this is your duty. And older men, Titus 2, the older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. Exhort the young men to be sober-minded. That's the basic principle in this. Teach those younger than you what the Bible teaches. Teach those younger than you how to apply it to life. Teach them biblical application and how to live life as a follower of Jesus Christ. You go back to Joash. Removing those stabilizing Christian influences, what happened? Everything went downhill. It proved disastrous, removing Jehoiada. But keeping and having those godly influencers like Zechariah, we see here, is a great blessing. Those of you who are younger, then seek out those who are older and wiser and learn from them. Those who are older, seek out those who are younger and mentor them, disciple them. Zechariah taught Uzziah what the Lord said. But where does blessing come? Not just from hearing the word, but heeding the word. Obeying the word. So it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. What does it mean to seek the Lord? As long as he sought the Lord. That there was devotion for the Lord and willingness to do what the Lord commands. It's like the vision in Isaiah. Isaiah responded to what he said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." What else? Uzziah and Judah fought what was good, that is. They fought against their enemies, verses 6 and 7. Their enemies were the Philistines, the Arabians, and the Ammonites, or the Maonites. And Judah won those victories by the hand of the Lord God. Verse 7, God helped them. And because Uzziah's fame grew, the Ammonites brought tribute to... that's chapter 27. Actually, 26. Uzziah, the Ammonites brought tribute to him to settle in Jotham in chapter 27. They brought tribute to him, and then in the second year and third year as well. But here in Uzziah, because of this, because he won these victories and tribute was brought and more goods were coming in, he became very strong. And he further built up Judah. We saw in verse 2, but it also continues verses 9 and 10. So he didn't merely go to battle and defeat those threatening enemies. He also built up the defenses that had been destroyed because of the evil kings before him. He built towers, verse 10. Then he also built up better things for sustenance and blessing in the land for his kingdom and for the rest of the people in Judah. It says he dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. The Lord was blessing and increasing Judah. Uzziah's reign begins to make one think back to the days of Solomon and David and Solomon. He's building up the nations. The enemies are all being defeated, like in David, and then the military. And then verses 11 through 15, usually you need to remember that Judah did not have a standing army. They had like what we would think are like a state's national guard. They're called up when they're needed, right? They're not training all the time. They're not a standing army. But when necessary, they would be called upon. They'd go fight. But here, Uzziah maintained a standing army. And they were well trained. Verse 14, they were well equipped to fight against Uzziah because Uzziah made sure they were equipped. But you go back to verse 2, after his father had died, verse 2, he built Elath and restored it to Judah. And if you remember back in chapter 8, verse 17, we'd see how Solomon secured that very same city, Elath, in order to trade in the very great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Right? And that was at, you know, the height of Solomon's kingdom and the wealthiest part of Israel ever. But as great as Uzziah was, he's by no means perfect. And like many kings before him, many successful and blessed kings before him, he turned to great sin. So the second point this evening is pride and idolatry. Pride and idolatry. One commentator said, great kings are most likely to fall into sin at the height of their powers. Isn't that true? That principle also applies in the church and quote-unquote celebrity pastors, preachers. But isn't that sin? David sinned with Bathsheba. Solomon's heart was led astray to foreign wives after he made Judah safe and prosperous. And you go through Chronicles, we see that time and again. Verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He was strong. He became powerful. But when that happened, his heart was lifted up. That is, he became proud. He exalted himself. And John Calvin said about people like that, he said, all who exalt themselves wage war against God. They wage war against God. That leads to destruction, beloved. Uzziah waged war against the Lord, for he, it says, transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And we've read the passage. We know Uzziah gets leprosy because of this, but Chronicles, just for your information, Chronicles is the only place it tells us how he got leprosy. The Kings, 2 Kings 15 account only tells us he got leprosy and he died from it. He sinned against the Lord his God. He exalted himself in pride. He thought he could do whatever he wanted. He thought it was that he was the King of Kings. He took the place of the Lord. And so he entered the temple of the Lord, the place of the Lord's presence, to burn incense on the altar of incense. But what do we know from the law? The priests knew, right? They knew the law. Who is to burn incense in the tabernacle, in the temple, on the altar of incense? Exodus 30. God commanded Aaron to do this. If we go back a few chapters, we're reminded of this. Chapter 23, verse 13. The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses. And Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give the blessing in his name forever. Aaron and his sons were only to do this. Only the priests, therefore, were to do this. And Uzziah was not a priest. Numbers 18, you remember we read through this in the mornings in our serial readings, not this past year, last year. And Numbers 18 says, anyone else who comes near the sanctuary must be put to death. If you're not a priest, if you come near the sanctuary, the most holy place, you must be put to death. We read this 250 people in Numbers, you remember, were put to death because they wanted to take the place of Aaron, the high priest, and do those priestly duties, but they were not called to be priests. They were not priests. They were not Aaronic priests. And there were people who had come out of the exile like this. Remember, Chronicles is written to those who have come out of the exile, the Babylonian exile. And there are people who are like this, whether it had to do with being king or the governor, or being the priest, like Joshua. They were trying to take Joshua's place. They wanted to perform the duties of the priests, of the king. But that's not what they were called by the Lord to do. And we see what happens, right? That's what the Ezra, who's writing Chronicles, that's what he's warning them about as they're coming out of the exile. Don't be warned. Don't take on those duties that you are not called to, because it will mean judgment. Beloved, our Lord knows exactly what He wants from those in His worship. And don't think any details ever slip past Him. He didn't miss speaking about women being leaders in the church. He didn't miss the part about singing those things outside of Scripture. He didn't miss the part about using other means in worship to communicate His word, like drama or entertainments. He's all-knowing. Right? He's eternally decreed all things. He's given us exactly what we need to know and revealed in the Scriptures. He didn't miss anything. We don't need to make up for His lacking. He doesn't lack. He's God. He is perfect in everything. Our shorter catechism says concerning what is forbidden in the second commandment. The second commandment forbiddeth the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in His word. But here is Uzziah, filled with pride, doing those things not appointed in God's word. He's committing idolatry. Uzziah believed he was king of kings. He thought he knew better than God. He knew the law, right? He was taught the law. All the kings are taught the law. And he was taught by Zechariah. He thought he knew better than God, though. And that's the same today. Not uncommon, like in our nation, for the civil magistrate to come and invade the workings of the Church of Jesus Christ. All right? But the king of any government, the king and head of the church, is Jesus Christ alone. But the king of any government often are found trying to usurp his authority. Uzziah was a king who was under authority. Our presidents, our leaders today are those leaders who are under authority. And just as in the last few chapters, a godly and courageous man is raised up to confront the ungodly actions of the sinful king. In this instance, it was Azariah, and then the 80 priests with him, and it calls them valiant men. These were not warriors, these were not soldiers, these were priests, ministers of God. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah's response was anger. Verse 19. Then Uzziah became furious. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar, and Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. He was unclean. Indeed, he was hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. Who was Uzziah angry at? Azariah and the 80 priests who were with him. But who was Uzziah really angry with? That's right, the Lord God who made the commandment. Instead of receiving well the rebuke that was from God's word, from God's law, he doubled down. Beloved, idolatry is a serious thing. What is idolatry? We think of idolatry and we think of someone who has an idol. It's before them. It's a physical thing and they're bowing down to it. We think of it physically oftentimes. But that's not only what idolatry is. Idolatry is any breaking of the second commandment in thought, word, or deed. Idolatry is not worshiping God in the way He has prescribed in His Word. Idolatry is adding to what God has commanded for His worship, or taking away and not doing what God has commanded in His worship. And oh, how we've seen that in Nadab and Abihu offering strange fire. They added to God's Word. They also shouldn't have been there in the first place. They added to His worship. They were consumed with fire from the Lord. That's how serious idolatry is. They were consumed with fire. By fire and died. And here is Uzziah teaching us something that doing in worship what you are not called to do in worship, and which you've not been set apart by the Lord to do in worship, is idolatry. We've already made mention of this, as Uzziah was not a priest. And often today, again, women are trying to do things in worship that they're not set apart to do by the Lord in ordination to preach the Word of God and to teach it. And so you have people today like Beth Moore, who's becoming more popular today, that many of you have possibly heard about. But it's not just women. I'm not here to just harp on women. It's not just women who do this. There are many men who get up in pulpits and who preach who are not called to preach. And they're not ordained to preach. Even when ordained men, when clearly not called by God, and they preach when God has not gifted them, or they preach when nobody has set them apart for such a ministry, right? Or even when a body like a presbytery does set them apart sinfully, and they're not called, they don't have the gifts. Remember that God is the one who truly ordains. It's the presbytery, just to learn a second. It's the men who ordain. The men who are laying the hands on the people, the men, are just confirming what the Lord is doing. Or what the Lord has done. But when even men like that, who are not equipped, they don't have the gifts, and they go in and preach, they as well are committing idolatry. And idolatry is punished by the Lord. Azariah communicates that before Uzziah's response of anger comes in. Verse 19, end of verse 18, you shall have no honor from the Lord God. But then because he didn't receive the rebuke from the Lord, he became angry. But when reformation, beloved, is pursued, people become angry at biblical reformation. Angry because they don't like it. Oh, we've always done it another way. Or I want to keep doing it the way we've always done it because it makes me feel good, you know. The experience, it feels better doing it a traditional way. whatever that traditional way is. But beloved, if it is idolatry, what must be done? It must be put to death. It must be done away with. Or what? Or we will receive no honor from the Lord. If we respond in anger toward the Lord, who commands His worship to be according to His commandments, then He may very well strike us. He struck Nadab and Abihu. He struck Uzzah, who put his hand out by the cart, right?
Yeah.
He struck Uzziah here with leprosy in a moment. In a moment. It was there, and then it was not there, then there. In a moment of his anger toward the priest, he's still there with the censer in his hand. The Lord struck him on his forehead before all the people of the priests. Idolatry is a serious sin. The Lord strikes people dead because of it. Or consumes them with fire, or He makes them lepers. And so you are warned, congregation. The former exiles were being warned here. It doesn't matter how prominent you are. You could be the greatest king on the earth. Be warned for failing to bow to Christ, the King of Kings, in worship. In all things. Worshipping Him in truth according to His commandments, exactly, precisely. Well, you might respond, well, Pastor, why do we need to be so precise in worship? Why do we need in the details to worship the Lord? Why not just follow His commands in a broader way? We're basically doing it, and this is what we're doing, and this is fine. Well, beloved, our God is not a broad God. He's a precise God. Infinitely precise. And you just think of the ceremonial law and looking back and what was required of the law of worship for the people of Israel. How precise and demanding He is. And what do we know about this God? He does not change. He's a God of order. And He's a God who demands simple, yet very precise worship. But it's when we add things or take away things that it all becomes complicated and convoluted. We must worship Him according to the truth, beloved. We must worship Him with our hearts, right? That's what we learned last chapter. Amaziah didn't have a loyal heart, a true heart, but he did God's commandments. But here we learn that we must worship Him according to truth. So worship in spirit and in truth. Where do we need reform? Where are we committing idolatry privately? Where are we committing idolatry as a congregation? Where are we following tradition and so caught up in that tradition that we think, well, this is reformed worship, right? But we don't even know why we do it this way. That's where we need to reform. What practices are just going through the motions, just doing things the way we've always done them? Well, let us not be prideful, thinking we have everything right and good and everything we do is perfect. We are not perfect people. So what we do is not perfect. Are you perfect? Is the congregation perfect? Do we do things according to tradition of man, or does it seem like we do? Where? Well, we must know this so that we may turn from such sin. So we may reform. Lest we be found idolaters and God is no longer merciful to us. God's been merciful thus far, but that mercy is not guaranteed if we continue dishonoring His name in idolatry. Well, we give praise that He is a God who shows mercy, and He showed it thus far. And we will keep praying that He will continue showing mercy. He was merciful to Uzziah. He only struck him with leprosy. He deserved far worse. Verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. What a way to end your life. Is that what you want for your life? Is that what you want for this congregation? To be isolated? To be cut off from the house of the Lord? That is, to be cut off from the means of grace and from worship? He was unclean. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't worship. Verse 23. So Uzziah rested with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham his son reigned in his place. Is that the way you want to end your life? Verse 21, cut off from the house of the Lord again. Cut off from the presence of the Lord, the means of grace, the practical excommunication because he's unclean. He had to stay outside because of the law of lepers, and you think there also he's buried just in a normal field that belonged to the kings, but not with the kings. Why? He's a leper. He's to be known by the former exiles as he's the leper. The people who would walk by, I don't know if they had gravestones or not, but he's a leper. I remember at the old location where we worship, if you went into the cemetery, they had one gravestone or like a stone on the ground. And it said, there's only these words, horse thief. Wow. It's part of the Civil War stuff. Well, whoever that is, whoever's buried there, he's a horse thief. Uzziah was a leper. And we have Psalm 122. We sang this morning, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Not Uzziah. He's outside. No joy. Great sorrow. Alone. But when we think of the Lord's Day and worship on the Lord's Day and we have the thought of not attending upon His worship, remember Uzziah's leprosy. Remember his misery. We learn that principle. Pride comes before the fall. Pride and idolatry. Uzziah's son began to reign. Verse 21, while Uzziah had leprosy, chapter 27, verse 1, he was 25 years old at that point. He reigned 16 years. Verse 2 is a summary of his reign. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But still the people acted corruptly. He followed in the ways of his father. He did good things. But he did not enter the temple. He did not take the censer of incense and went into before the altar of incense. And yet still the people acted corruptly. He did not do what? He didn't do certain things. He didn't bring reformation like Asa and Jehoshaphat. He's still good. He still did right in the sight of the Lord. He kept building up Judah. He fought with the Amorites, verse 5, and defeated them. There was much spoil from that. He became strong like his father, verse 6. And why is that? Because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Verses 7 through 9, it says, now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And so Jotham rested with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. He had an honorable burial. And then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. And Jotham isn't really spoken about of any great amount. He acts as someone, chapter 27, acts as someone to compare to Uzziah. But also a communication of the line of the kings of David. You look, if you remember, in chapter 27, verse 7, you see there's a distinct difference between that verse and the one about Uzziah. And verse chapter 26, verse 22. And as we've gone through the Chronicles, we have never seen anything like chapter 26, verse 22. Jotham, chapter 27, he was, everything else is written about him in the kings of Israel and Judah, a very common thing. That is, go back to the book of the kings. And we have that book. But for Uzziah, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. There's not much in Isaiah about Uzziah. But there is the part we know. There's a communication here about Jotham, chapter 27, reminding us of the covenant promises, 1 Chronicles 17, there will always be a forever king on the forever throne. Christ is coming, right? That's the promise of Christ the Messiah and He reigning on the throne. And here's another son in the line, Jotham. It wasn't over after Uzziah, just because he was a leper and just because of his idolatry. There's a better king coming. And that's from the chronicler's perspective and the former exiles, there's a better king coming. Look forward. But the end of chapter 26 says, look at Isaiah. Isaiah 6. And that's what the end of chapter 26 is pointing us to. Not the book of the Kings, but Isaiah. Uzziah was a good king until he exalted himself and fought against God and committed idolatry. And he was struck with leprosy and died. And you remember, how long did Uzziah reign for? He reigned for 52 years. That's a very long reign of a king, as we've gone through the Chronicles. That's for most of us, is most of our lifetime. But once again, human kings, human leaders show their weakness. He's just a man. But he gives hope. He gives hopes to the former exiles coming out of Babylon. He gives hope to us. Uzziah was just a man. But in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." There is Christ prefigured. There is the gospel. There's the Lord on his throne, high and lifted up. There is Uzziah, and he failed. He's just a man. But there is the God-man who's coming, who sits on the forever throne. And he is high and lifted up. It is now that we have a king. It's not Uzziah. He died. It's not any of these other kings that we read about in Chronicles. They die. But it's the King of all kings who reigns, the mediator, Christ Jesus, the God-man. He is holy, holy, holy. And so how will you worship before him? Just hearing the words, Isaiah, what did he say? "Woe is me, for I am undone." How will you serve him? Human kings and leaders come and go, but Christ reigns forever. The king is dead, but long live King, the King of kings, Jesus Christ. That's where our trust must be. And that's who we must bow down to and worship before. And that's who we must in everything pledge our allegiance to, and do so in nothing and no one else. Christ is King. And He is our hope. And He is one's only hope in this world. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that you have not struck us dead, consumed us with fire, or given us some illness or grave disease, or made us lepers. But you have shown mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy, unending, infinite, upon us thus far in Christ. And we're thankful for this. We give you all praise and exalt your name. May we be a people who hate sin. May we be a people who hate idolatry and hate all forms of false worship, even the forms of false worship that are in our heart. Turn us from such sins and turn us unto you. Reveal to us where we are committing idolatry here amongst our congregation and the congregations that we represent in other places, that we might worship you aright according to your word, the truth, but also, as we heard last Lord's Day, with our hearts fully devoted to you, knowing that when we are fully devoted to you, just like with Uzziah, you are our strength and our help. And we trust in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.